So before we start learning today, today's shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmoson of two Noshim Tzadkoniyos, mother and mother-in-law of our dear friend Rabbi Yaakov Greenwald, who is a Kavua Mishtatef, a steady participant in this shir, and Rabbi Yaakov's mother-in-law, Moris Chaya Bas Yehudis, Yortzeit Yud Daled Mar Cheshvan. That is
tomorrow night.
And Rabbi Yaakov's mother, Moris Mindel, Basta Bekiva, Yehuda Halevi, was your side to say, Tevis, Shenuchu v'sholom al Mishkovam, they should be Melitzes Yosher for the entire family, and you should only know Nachas and Simcha. So the Torah we learn tonight should be Le'ilui Nishmoson. And the sugya we will be discussing today is a very troubling sugya, the story of Zdoim. So in this week's parasha, Vayomer Hashem, Hamachas ani me'Avraham es kol asher ani oiser. Vayomer Hashem, Zakas Zdoim ve'amoiru ki rabo, ve'chatosom ki kovdo me'oid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares with Avraham, there is an awful city, and that is Zdoim. And their sins are at such a level, we can no longer justify their existence. Vayashkeif, Vashem himter al Zdoim, v'al ha'moiru gofres, v'eish ma'is Hashem en ha'shamayim, v'yafoich ha'sa'orem ho'il, v'eskol ha'kiko, v'eskol yish v'orem, v'tzemach u'adomo. And since the Mabul, and the aftermath of the Mabul, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, no, never again will I destroy the earth, never was an entire city destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu besides them. Yes, we do find a somewhat similar story with Hadas Koyrech, but that was a community, not a city. So what exactly was the hate of Zdoim and Amoiro? We will leave that to the second part of today's shiur, but the first part of the shiur is a halachic concept of koifen al midas zdoim that we find in Chazal. So in the fifth perek of Masechet Avos, Chazal say, arba midos ba'odom, four different categories of people. Shali shali, shalcho shalcho, that is beinonis. Yesho imu, midas zdoim. Shalcho shali, shali shali, Rosha. How do we define Midas Doim? Chazal say, Zeh nehena v'zeh lo chaser. Decent people, reasonable people. You don't have to be especially righteous, you don't have to be a great tzaddik, but basic decency and reasonability would dictate, why not do a favor for another if it costs you nothing? It's not at your expense. It will not in any way diminish your rights, so why not help another? And in halachic definition, zeh nehena v'zeh lo chaser, that is defined midas doim. Because anshei zdoim were evil, they were bad, they weren't willing to help other people even though it wasn't at their expense. And as an edent of Kuftes, Chazal explained the rationale of zdoim. And it brings to mind the philosophy Yemach Shemam Vezichronam of the Nazis just 80 years ago when our parents suffered, and I'm the child of survivors, and it is unbelievable and shocking and mind-boggling and so disturbing that the Nazis weren't just barbarians. They had a shkofa, they had a philosophy, they had a system. And some of them, with their own kind, were nice people. So anshei zdoim also had a philosophy. And the Gemara explains zdoim is very good land, and that was a city of abundance. But all the adjacent towns and areas were barren. That's desert. So anshei zdoim were worried, if we're gonna be generous, we're gonna have so many shnorers coming every day, push the yad, we won't be able to afford it. So they decided, in principle, we don't give. We don't share. And it's amazing that the Novi Yecheskel in Perek Tezayin, when he speaks about the chet of Zdoim, Yad Oni ve'ev yoin lo yerziku, But in this week's parsha, they seem to be, not only that they didn't give charity, they were cruel barbarians. The story with the malachim that came to visit Lot, and they broke down his door, and they wanted to have those people and to violate them. So let's leave that for the second part of the shiur. But in halacha, it's zenehena vezeh lo chaser. So I will today bring 10 different sugyas and discussions in the poskim, trying to define exactly to what extent is koifen al midas stoim. But what the Gemara says, we enforce charity, which is interesting. Not only when a person has a monetary obligation, whether it's contractual or he caused damage to another person, sometimes we enforce charity in Beis Din. And I want to bring three examples besides Koifen al Midas Toim. There are three sugyas in Shas which are based on Lefnei Meshuas Hadin, but they are enforceable in Beis Din. And that's a chiddush. Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Person wants to sell a field, or he wants to sell a house, and it's his sole possession, beyond question. His neighbor wants to buy that field, but this seller says, this is my land, and I am free to sell to whomever I choose. But his neighbor says, no, I have more benefit out of this land than anyone else could have, because I have a field right next to this field. So it'll be far more beneficial to me to have two fields in the same place, so I could save money. My workers are here anyway. So we force the seller to sell to his neighbor before selling to anyone else, unless he could get a better price. But if his neighbor is willing to match the price he could get from another, then we force the seller, you gotta sell him. And that goes against conventional wisdom. It's my field. Why wouldn't I be entitled to sell to whomever I want to sell? And we say no. To that other purchaser, there's no difference between this field and any other. Let him go buy another field. The person wants to buy an apartment, he wants to buy a house. To the other purchaser, there's no difference between this house and any others. But to your neighbor, makes a huge difference. He wants two houses, one next to the other. Maybe he wants to combine the two. When his kids come for Shabbos, he would like to have them right next to his place. And the Gemara says, this halacha is based on the posuk Va'osiso Hayosher Va'atoiv. Va'osiso Hayosher Va'atoiv is not a monetary obligation. I don't owe anyone. It's Musa. It's Lefnei Meshuas Hadin, but it's enforceable. And that is called Dine de Bar Mitzvah. And the source of this sugi is in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Ches. Another halacha which is in Bava Metzia Daf Tezayin. And once again, this halacha doesn't have any legal logic, but it has moral logic. Person took a loan. Payday comes. He doesn't have money to pay. So the lender is entitled
realize his lien.
So, I don't know. I don't have the right term in English. In Hebrew, it's lemamesh et ha-shiabud shelo, legvot et ha-shiabud. Anechasim mishu abedim lo, and he has a right. If the person didn't pay up when time came, then he has a right to seize that property. So, lefi aloche, it is his. However, if at some later stage, the borrower says, now I have the money and I want my field back, I want my house back, he has the right to redeem his house. And that is Lefnei Meshuas Hadin, because Chazal say, to you, this is not the house you lived in, it's not the house you grew up in. To him it has sentimental value, which it does not have to you. So you exercised your rights, yes. And if you sold that house, he could no longer go to the buyer. But as long as the house is still in your possession, you lended him money, and you're supposed to get your money back. You didn't buy a house. We just gave you the house because he didn't pay up. So if at any later stage he comes with the money, then he has the right to redeem his house and buy back his house. And that halacha is called Shuma Hadra. There's 1 month of Omer the Gemara, only 12 months. We pass Ken Shuma Hadra Liyolim. As long as it didn't change hands, he has the right to pay the loan and get his house back. Once again, that is Lifnei Meshura Sadim, but it's enforceable in Beis Din. And that halacha is also based on the very same pasuk, Bo'asiso Hayosho V'Hatoy. Sugya number three, which is slightly different, but in a way it is similar, and that is in Bava Basra Daf Yud Gimel. People are partners in a business, in a home, in a field. Ein bo kedei chaluko. Sometimes the partnership you could be split in two. If we have a huge mansion, well, one each could get half of it. We have a huge field, yesh bo kedei chaluko. But if it's a small little house or a small little field, and if we split it in two, the value will be severely diminished, and each of us will be losing out. Then there's a halacha of good or egud. If one of the two partners wants out, it is a halachic principle. It's not right to force people to keep up a partnership which they no longer feel comfortable with. So one of the two partners says, I no longer want to be a partner with you. So either you buy me out or I buy you out. And the other party says, no, I'm comfortable with this partnership. Neither do I want to buy you out, and neither do I want to sell. But the partner that wants out of the partnership could impose and force the other. You have the first right to buy me out, and if you can't do that, then I will buy you out. And the Gemara doesn't explain what is the source of this halacha. Tshuva Sarashbo, Chelak Aleph, Tov, Kuf, Nun, Vav. That is 956. The Rashbo says, it's at Konas Chachamim, based on the Posek Vosiso Hayosho Vahatoy. So the first two halachas, the Gemara bases this ruling on Vosiso Yosho Vahatoy. And in halacha number three, it is the Rashbo. The common denominator, the Tzad HaShoveh from these halachas is, it is not legal logic, but there is moral logic. You know, this person lost his house, and his house has sentimental value to him. As long as he pays, then he has the right to get his house back. Matzronis, to me, it has that much more value than to anyone else, and you're getting the same price. So we would like you to sell your neighbor and not to sell to another person. And the same is good or egod. Chazal, with their infinite wisdom, understood it is not a healthy situation to force partnership on people. Partnership is like family. Partners need to be comfortable one with the other. If not, it's a blueprint for machlokes, it's a blueprint for sinas kunam, and therefore, either you have the first right to buy me out, but if you can't or you don't wish to do so, I can buy you out. So these are three examples in which halacha that obviously is, should be, by its very nature, lefnei meshura sadin, is enforceable in Beis Din, which brings us back to the halacha of koifen al midas doim. Zenehena, veze lo chaser koifen. Sometimes it is lechatchela, sometimes only b'dieved. Example number one is a Gemara in Bava Basra, daf yud beis omid beis. Brothers inherited a field, and this is the very same principle as Dina Debar Metza. So one of the brothers that have the right to this inheritance has another field, his own private possession, which borders with part of the inheritance. He would like to get this field in his nachala. Other brothers say, no, you didn't have any special rights in this field, and anybody could choose, and let's make a goyel. And he says, but this field has that much more value to me because I have a field right next to it. Koifen al midas doim. So in that sugya, which is similar to the din of Dina de Bametze. But Dina de Bametze is with a seller and buyers, potential buyers, and this aloha deals with chalukat nachala. But the principle is the same. And in this case, koifen al midas sdoim, and we impose on all the other brothers a chaluka which would be to the benefit of the one that has a field right next to the border of part of the Yerusha. On the other hand, bova kamed af chof omud beis, there is once again koifen al midas dom, but that is only b'diyeved and not lechat chila. Chotzer de lo kaim el agra, v'gavra de oved lemegar. So a person has a house, and he has no intention of renting out that house. He hasn't done so in ages. He has an apartment. He never rents it out. Once a year, his kids come from Chutz La'aretz, and they stay in the apartment. But we know from the past that he never rents out the apartment. And a person desperately needs a house. Without asking for permission, he just broke into the house and he lived there for a month. And the owner didn't even know about that. And suddenly he becomes aware people are living in his house. And he says, who gave you permission to come into this house? And obviously they came in without permission. Do they need to pay rent? And the Gemara says, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but the halacha is, they don't need to pay. Because zeh neina v'zeh lo chaser. And we tell the owner of that house, you never rented out this house. So why would you now collect rent if you never did so in the past? But why would he get an apartment for free? That's a valid argument. But it is only a valid argument lechatchila, not b'diyeved. You have the right to ask him to leave the house, and we will force him to leave the house. But you cannot collect rent because he had benefit, but you had no loss. And when one party has benefit and the other has no loss, that is midas doim and koifen al midas doim. So what is the difference between scenario number one, Bava Basa Yud Beis, and case number two? Why in Bava Basa do we enforce midas doim lachatchila, and in Bava Kama, it is only b'diavad? He is not required to give away that house for free. But b'diavad, he cannot demand compensation or rent. So the Rishonim explain, it is the basic right of any owner regarding anything in his possession to exercise his ownership, and he doesn't have to give away for free anything he possesses. And therefore, that is not included in Koifen al Midas Dom to force me to let other people into my home or to let someone else use my car. I am not required to let other people use anything that is in my possession without them paying for it. Therefore, it is only b'diyeved. The other person already lived in the house. And the question is, does he need to pay or not? Because you had no loss, we would not require him to pay. These are two examples in which the Gemara uses this term, koifen al midas dam. One is lachatchila, and the other is only b'diyeved. Because in the case of splitting the inheritance, you're not being required to give anything away. It's not something that is yours and you need to give it away. You only have 1/4 or 1/5 or 1/6 or 1/3 of this property. The question is only where you take your field and which part of the property goes to your brother. So if he has more benefit from one part of the property, that is koifen al midas dayim. And this is something we will enforce lachatchila. But a person is not required to give away what is his sole possession for free, even though I never rented it out in the past. And therefore, by chotzer de lo kaim al agar, v'gavra de oved lemegar, it is only b'diyeved that he is not required to pay, but he definitely doesn't have a right to break into another person's house lachatchila and just use that house without permission from the Bainim. Sugya number three, which is an interesting one, and that's in Ksubis, Kuf Gimel Omed Aleph, Choshe Mishpot, Shin Yud Ches Seif Aleph. Person rented out a mill. A mill is a tachanat kemach, right? He rented out a mill. The mill is in his possession, he rented it out. And the condition, the heskim, the contract was that the person that rented the mill sometimes in technical words, escape me, evade me. So the heskim was shasocher tochen kemach lemaskiyo. So he's going to give you services instead of paying you money. So the renter of the mill doesn't have to pay money, but rather he gives service to the person that owns the mill. And he is supposed to grind. Is that the right word?
Yes.
So he's supposed to grind his grain for free and giving him services that is worth $500 a month instead of paying him cash. But then the owner of the mill won the lottery and he buys kemach. He no longer needs this service. He could afford to buy Silas Nikhil. So he says, I no longer do this. I no longer need the service. So we impose on the renter, no, you're going to grind grain for others and pay him money. Because you're not losing out. This is your business. This is what you do all day. But he doesn't have anything to do with kemach. What is kemach?
Flour.
Because he's not a merchant. He doesn't have a grocery store. He doesn't sell flour. He's a businessman. And he no longer needs this service. So we impose upon the renter to pay money, even though that goes against the contract. That wasn't the heskim. And the renter says, I want to stand on the contract. I'm not supposed to make money. I am willing to grind his grain. But we say, the owner no longer needs that, and therefore we say, Koifin on me this dumb. You grind for others and you pay him money. But if business is bad, and the renter says, I don't do that much business, and therefore I am willing to grind his grain, and that is the original agreement we had. And in that case, we say that the maskier, the mill owner, let him sell the grain because this is not fair to the soicher, this is not fair to the renter. Business is bad, and he's going to be losing out because there's not that much demand. But in that case, the owner of the mill could regret the entire agreement, and he could back out. So Chazal here tried to balance out the rights of the renter and the rights of the owner. So when business is good, Chazal say, he has nothing to do with the service. You know, he buys flour. He could afford to buy flour. He no longer has grain to grind. And this is your business anyway. So we impose on the renter, you do some more work and pay him money. Business is bad. And the renter proves there's not that much demand, and I don't have the money, and I never promised to pay money. This goes against our agreement. Then we say no, and we tell the owner, buy grain, this is what you get, and try to sell. But if the owner says, this is not something I can do, it's not my line of business, then he has the right to back out of the deal. V'levatel et hiskem haschirut. And that's in Choshe Mishpat Shin Yuvches. Tshuvas Maharik, Simintet, Klal Tes Tshuvas Maharik. And the minhag was 600 years ago, one of the Gedolim in Italy. And the Tshuvas Maharik has a question, has a kasha on this halacha, on this gemara from Bava Metzia, Ayin Tes Omen Beis. Person rented a boat. And according to the agreement, he needs this boat for a month because he pedals the boat from one town to the other, and he has merchandise to sell. So this journey would take a month. He had great luck, and after 2 weeks, sold all his merchandise, and he wants to back out. And he tells the boat owner, I no longer need this boat, Baruch Hashem, sold all my merchandise. And we tell the owner, what do you care? What do you mind? If you could rent it out to someone else, then you're mechuyev to do so, and he has the right to back out. But the Gemara says that the owner has taroimis. And taroimis is an interesting geder. What is the significance of taroimis? And he has the right to say, I don't want to deal with other people. Every time I need to deal with new soichim, with new renters, you know, it's a pain in the neck. It's a headache. You know, you rented the boat for a month. And I demand, do with the boat whatever you wish. You sold your merchandise, then take your family for it to you. So he asked the rabbi, he says, I don't want to deal with other people. You know, I rented out the boat for a month. I do have the ability to rent it out to someone else, but how could you impose on me to deal with other people? I don't like to deal with people. This is something which is troubling. So on one hand, the soicher has the right to back out if the maskir could rent it out to someone else, but the maskir does have the right of taroimis. So the medic asks, why can't the guy that rented the mill have the same taroimis? I don't want to deal with other people. You know, we had an agreement. I'm supposed to give you the service. Now you impose on me, find someone else, negotiate with someone else. So why is the boat owner different, and he has the right to say, I don't want to negotiate with other people, and why can't the soicher say the same? I don't want to negotiate with other people. So the medic says, Afal pikein, this is Bechlal Koifen al Midas Doim. So Koifen al Midas Doim goes beyond Zenehene vezeh loichosar. As long as it says zeh loichosar, it doesn't have monetary loss, even though he's in an uncomfortable position, it's still Midas Doim shekoifen olav. And based on this analysis, reconciling the two sugis, Bava Metzia Ayin Tes and Ksubas Kuv Gemel, the medic has an interesting psak in an entirely different realm. And this is number 5 on my list. So in some shuls, Simchas Torah, or some other special Shabbosim, they sell aliyahs. Now there's a kayim, or a person that has yahrzeit, and he says, I deserve an aliyah. I'm the only kohen in shul. Well, obviously he's not the only kohen in shul because we're selling kohen, but maybe he's the only kohen in shul and we ask him to leave, we should be able to sell for Yisrael. And he says, I have the right to an aliyah. And the medic says, no, if this is the custom, if this is the minig and the shul needs the funds, they have a right to ask you either leave the shul or buy your aliyah. So even though we're imposing on a person two options, which he doesn't like. He doesn't like either of them. He doesn't want to buy an aliyah because he deserves an aliyah. Why should he buy one? He's the only kohen in shul. And he doesn't want to leave the shul. He wants to sit on his place. He has the right to sit in shul. The medic says, koifen al midas dam. That's the greater benefit of the shul. And it's not such an awful tachet to step out of the shul for a few minutes. So he proves from the din in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel, we impose on the soicher to negotiate with other people and pay the maskia money, even though he argues, I don't want to negotiate deals with others. You know, I never promised them money. I promised them services. And nevertheless, it's still defined as Midas Daim, the same regarding the Aliyahs. And that's somewhat of a leap from one sugya to a totally different area. We move on. Bava Basa Kuf Samech Esamed Aleph, and that is Hilchas Dayonim. So both parties need to subject to the Beis Din their arguments. One party his claim, the other party his defense. And there are two ways to go about it. Each could present a different document, but it'll cost both of them money. Because in days of yore, well, today you take a lawyer. In those days, you took a scribe. Not people, people didn't write. There was a cipher, there was a scribe. So one party tells the other, let's present to the Beis Din a joint document, which will include all the claims I will be saving money. The cipher will charge less. The other says, Domiso alaika aria arba. We are foes, not friends. We are our adversaries. We're fighting each other in basin. So I want nothing to do with you. I don't want my arguments to be on the same page and the same document as yours. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says he has a right. Chachamim say, no. We impose on both parties to present a joint document to the court. And Koifen al Midas Doim. That is the way the Rishonim explain this halacha in Bava Kamma, Kuf Samech Ches. So even though one party argues, it's extremely uncomfortable to me to be on the same page. We are fighting each other. But me say, the other party argues, it's a monetary loss. And Koifen al Midas Doim. And this is another example, even though as long as he doesn't have any monetary loss, it is zenehene vezelei choso vekoifen al midas doim. Shinyud beis sif aleph. Person rented a house. And before the rental period is up, the owner of the house says, I decided to renovate the house because as you leave the house, I want someone else to move in and I want to renovate. And I offer you a nicer house. And everybody agrees, costs more, higher level, yoter yukrati, it's a nicer house, but the renter says, too much of a schlep to move in the middle of the year, So the owner says, I'll help you, I'll pay the expense, it wouldn't cost you a dime to move, I'll have my workers. The renter still could say, no, too much of a terchem. And you can't force me to do that. So even though the house owner says, for me, it's a huge loss, and you're not losing out, but it's a tercha which you cannot impose on me. What I want to prove from all these sources, it is only Chazal that determined exactly how do we balance out the rights of two different parties. When one party has no monetary loss, the other has monetary gain, but the one that has no monetary loss, still, it's not comfortable for him. It puts him into a certain level of stress, discomfort, and we see that Chazal, in every sugya, ein lilmud, we cannot learn from one sugya to the other, and each is different in its details and unique in its spirit, and in every sugya we find a different approach. How do we balance out the rights of two different parties? And this brings us probably to the most, now, one more source, and then we reach the most fascinating sugya. Yevomis Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And this is Dine Yibum. And a Shemeres Yibum. So, according to Din Torah, if a person dies and he has no children, then his brother is supposed to be Miyabim, his wife. And 30 days passed, we assume probably they already performed their mitzvah. After 30 days, he says, I fulfilled my obligations and I performed the mitzvah. And she says, no, there was nothing between us. There's a machlokes in a shayinim, koifenois en lachloitz, oy mevashin memenoi lachloitz. Taisa says, we cannot impose on him to give chalitza because he says, I was already miyavim. But she has a problem. She said, no, you weren't miyavim. So we ask him and we try to persuade him, encourage him to give chalitza, but we do not force him because he says it's uncomfortable. It's an embarrassment. I don't want to stand in the basin and she needs to spit, even though it's a mitzvah. But he could say, I prefer my mitzvah and I don't want to go beyond that. And we just try to persuade him and convince him to do so. Memidas achesed. The Ritva says, we force him. Koifen al midas doim. According to Tosis, it's not midas daim. He has no monetary loss. He's not losing anything. But it's an uncomfortable situation, and therefore we cannot impose on him. So this is a machlokes between the Tosis and the Ritva. And this brings us to source number 9. Choshe Mishpot Shin Yud Aleph Sif Aleph. And this is a bit complicated. A person rented a boat. And according to the contract they signed, Sfinos Tam, what's specified in the contract. You give me a boat. But the contract doesn't say which boat. And you have a car rental, you have a boat rental, you have 100 boats. So I rent a boat from you to transfer this barrel of wine from here to there. The barrel slipped off the hull,
the deck.
So the barrel slipped off the deck. So the boat owner says, I rented out my boat for Yayin Zeh. Yayin Zeh is no longer existent. Give me back the boat. The renter says, why would that make a difference to you? Why should you benefit from the fact I lost my wine? I want to use the same boat as long as I am entitled to use the boat to transfer different wine. Koifen on Midas Daim. He cannot ask his boat back. But if the boat drowned together with the wine, and the renter says, but the Heskim is not Svinazu, Svinostan. If my barrel of wine would be intact, you would need to give me another boat. Because our contract doesn't specify you give me one boat. You need to give me the service, whether it's this boat or another one. The Sma says, no. The boat owner could say, well, show me the barrel of wine. If you insist that the contract says Svinastam, I insist the contract says Yayin Zeh. So if the boat wouldn't be lost, we would say the Seicher has the upper hand. Why would it make a difference to you whether this was signed or another wine? But if the boat is lost, then the owner could say, yes, I did obligate Svinastam, but you're asking me for another boat? Let me see which barrel of wine you want to transfer. And the Sma says, in that case, he's not mechuyev to give him another boat because it's Niat Yayin Zeh. The Shach agrees to the halacha, but he has a different reasoning and a different rationale. So the Shach says, it's not only you lost the wine, I lost my boat. So the loss is mutual. We both lost on this deal. And to me, it's a double loss if I need to give you another boat now. I lost the boat. So why should I lose again and give you another boat which I could rent out to someone else if your wine is not the same wine? So if the boat owner wouldn't be part of the loss, he would have to give him another boat even though it's not the same barrel of wine. So this is a machlokes, the Sma and the Shach. Where does the Mogen Avraham take this machlokes? It's fascinating. Kuf Lamed Beis, Dinei Kriyas HaToyel. Or Dinei Kaddish. Two people have Yortzeit on the very same day. So the minig is, one says Kaddish by Maariv, the other says by Shachas. The third would say by Musaf, and the other one by Mincha. Many shuls today, primarily Hasidic shuls, many people say Kaddish. But only one could daven for the Yomim. And only one can have the Aliyah. So, two people have Yortzeit in the same day. One needs to leave town very early in the morning before Shachas. So his friend tells him, you're not going to be here tomorrow morning. So you take Maariv, and I'll take Shachas. Isn't that a fair deal? The person that leads to Neve very early in the morning says, no. Let's do a goyel. If we would be five people, and there's only one tefillah or two tefillahs, what would we do? We would do a goyel. So I want to do a goyel on Maariv. The other one says, the one that's going to be here tomorrow morning, he says, I don't want this agreement. So the one that's leaving tomorrow morning says, I'll take Maariv. Leave Maariv for me. You have shachas. I'm not going to be here tomorrow morning. The other says, no. I want a goyel for Maariv. And maybe I'll have them both. Maybe I'll have them both. You're not going to be here tomorrow morning. And tonight, I want a goyel. Maybe I could have them both. You'd be surprised to hear the Mughal Rome says, he has the right. He has the right to demand a goyel. And he says, That is the same as the Sma. So the Sma says, I rented out my boat, but you didn't have your wine. So why should I give you another boat? I have the right to insist on being Mekayim the Heskim, Kiksovoy, Vechel Shoinoy, and this is not Bechal Midasdaim. The other party says, Kaifanaz Midasdaim. Why would it matter to you whether I have that barrel of wine or another barrel of wine? He says, no. If I'm not going to have a loss, but I do have the right to make more money and rent out my boat to someone else. So in the same token, the Magen Avraham argues, well, if you take the morning davening and I take my night, I'm not going to lose out. But maybe I have the right to not only not to lose out, but to be marviach. And therefore, he could demand a goyel by night. Others reject this opinion.
It does feel very wrong in the case of Mariv and Shachnit. It feels wrong, very selfish.
Yes. So others argue it's not the same as Dina Mominis.
Yeah.
And this is just the fairest deal. I mean, we're two people. Each of us has your site. Why would you want to have both tefillos and leave me without anyone? And so I think most later Achroinim disagree with the Magen Avraham. So the common denominator, the Tzad HaShuvah between all the sources we wrote, is what are the limits of Koifen al Midas Dam? And how do we balance out the rights of two people when one party is not going to lose out monetarily and the other will have gain without causing him loss? But we do demand him stress, tirche, discomfort in order to minimize monetary loss from the other party, and to what extent do we demand from one sacrifice in order that your friend, another person, should have gain. So I brought 10 different sugyas and 10 different discussions from different sources, all dealing with the concept of koifen al midas dam. And at the beginning of this year, we brought a few halachas, very clear halachas, in which we see that in Dina Mominis, sometimes, even though the halacha is based on a total moral and ethical value, not a monetary, legal one, sometimes it is enforceable and based in, like Dina de Mametzle, Shuma Hadra, and Gud O Eged, and Koifen al Midas Dam belongs in the same broad context. So let's once again examine what does Stoyim symbolize. Shali Shali, Shalcho Shali, and even Shali Shali v'Shalcho Shalcho, according to one Shita in the Mishnah, that is Midas Dam. Yad Oni ve'Evyon lo hichsiku. That is what the Navi says. In this week's Parsha, they seem to have gone far beyond Yad Oni Ve'Evyon Lo Hichziku. But we find a similar phenomenon by Dor HaMavel. On one hand, the Pesuk says, Ki Hishchus Kol Bosar Es Darkoi, but then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I'm going to destroy the world, Ki Mola Ha'oretz Chomos Lafonai. And Rashi brings, Roi Nechtem Gzar Dinam Elo Al HaGezel. So it is one of the sources in which we see that Avedah Shebein Olam L'Chaveiloi sometimes are far harsher than Avedah Shebein Olam L'Mokoi. Ki Hishas Kol Bosar Es Darkoi, Hayon Es Kuken L'Sha'ein Aminam, that is Bein Olam L'Mokoi. Arayas is Bein Olam L'Mokoi. Gezel is Bein Olam L'Chaveiloi. But Gezel and Chamas are grave Avedahs. Yad Oni Ve'Evyon Lo Yechziku is just a bitul mitzvahs asay. So my understanding is, it's a bitul mitzvahs asay, but it is far more than a bitul mitzvahs asay, because the Pesuk says in Tehillim, Oilam Chesed Yebona. The fundament, the foundation of the world is Chesed. על שלושת דבורם העולם קיים, על הרמס, על הדין ועל השולוים. שולוים is חסד. עולם חסד יבון. And any just society must be based on chesed, which is compassion and charity. So some people are rude, some people are nasty, not all are generous, many aren't compassionate. But what was unique about them is those were the rules, and they devised a system which rejected chesed. Miktsayis HaChoshen, in his introduction to the Shef Shemaitze, Miktsayis was one of the greatest Lamdonim in the history of Torah Shebaal Peh. His Bar Plukta and friend, the Nesivus, wrote many Svarim. Miktsayis only wrote 3 Svarim. Miktsayis HaChoshen, Avnei Meluim, and Shef Shemaitze. The Nesivus wrote many Svarim in Drush, which Miktsayis did not. So his power in Drush we see from the introduction to the Shef Shemaitze. And in one of the sections in that introduction, he asks, what's the difference between the story of Pelegesh Begivo and the story of Zdayim? The story told in this week's Parsha is very similar to the story we find Ba'anshe Givo in Navi. So the Ksois explains, there it was coincidence. There were bad people. By Zdayim, it was their philosophy. It was their attitude, it was their legal system. Their legal system rejected charity. They were against charity, and people that gave charity were punished in Zdayim. So the Tzais explains, a society that rejects compassion and mercy and charity has no tikkun, has no schus kiyum, and that is why Zdayim had to be destroyed. That's what happened 80 years ago in Nazi Germany. A society that is based on evil and resha and cruelty has no justification, must be destroyed. And that is the difference between Zdayim and Anshe Givo. And the choice of this approach explains the Medrash at the beginning of Parsha Shoftim, Shoftim v'Shoftim Titten Lecho, L'man Tiske v'Yorashtu v'Sa'oretz, and Chazal say, Kedai minu yishoiftim ksherim, lohoshiv yisor ala demosom. The Ksois asks, minu yishoiftim ksherim? Isn't it required that we actually do mishpat and execute tzedek and mishpat? And the Ksois explains, minu dayonim ksherim in itself proves that this is what we want. This is our philosophy. This is our attitude. We want to be just. We want to be merciful. And that justifies the existence of any social system. So Anshe Zdayim rejected chesed. They rejected compassion and they punished anyone that gave charity. And therefore, they needed to be destroyed because that goes against Olam Chesed Yevon. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov exemplify and symbolize Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim, and Shloshet Dvorim Olam Oymed. And the Zohar explains that the 3 of us are Shloshet Dvorim, Shloshu Amudei Teva. But interesting, why is the other way around? The Mishnah says, of Shloshet Dvorim Olam Oymed, first Torah, then Avodah, then Gemilas Chasodim. But by the Ovis, it's the other way around. Avraham Avinu is Chesed. Titan Chesed L'Avraham. Does everybody know what is Brisoy Shel Avraham Avinu? What is Brisoy Shel Avraham Avinu? You all know. Isn't it Bris Mila? Lachnisoy, what does the father say by every bris? Lachnisoy Brisoy Shel Avraham Avinu. But in Berchus Avelim, we find once again, Achenu B'nei Yisrael HaMachzikim B'Brisoy Shel Avraham Avinu. That's in Berchus Avelim. And Rashi explains in Ksuvas Davches, B'nei Yisrael HaMachzikim Bevrisa Shel Avraham Avinu, which is Gemilas Chasodim, Vayita Eshel. Avraham was the pillar of Chesed. And that is why in Kabbalah, Chesed Gevurah Teferes is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The Shivu Ushpizim, and that's Shiva Sfiris, Chesed Gevurah Tiferes, Netzach Hod Yisoid, Malchus, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, Yosef, and David. So Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avodah, and that is a sacrifice of Pachad Yisod, and Yaakov is Ish Tam Yosef Oyholim. So why is it the other way around? Because when we come to establish a world, a nation, it needs to be established on Chesed. Chesed is the foundation, and everything comes after that. So Avraham Avinu was the very first Yid, and he laid the foundation of Klal Yisrael, the very first pillars and the very first Yisoidus, and those need to be Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibon. So the Gemara says in Birchas Avos, Yochel Yochoismen Bekulam, Talmud Loimer, Bechochoismen. And we say, Alakai Avraham, Alakai Yitzchak, Alakai Yaakov. Vanachasim is a bracha, we say, Mogen Avraham. And the Baal Shem Tov says, Bechochoismen, Leachres Ayomim, before Bias HaMashiach, it is Chesed that will ultimately bring Moshiach Tzidkenu. And that is the remez of Bechochoismen. And that is why Anshei's Daim, Yad Oni Ve'evion Lo Yechziku. It is not only that they fell short in Tzedakah and in Gemilas Chasadim. They rejected Gemilas Chasadim, and that is why they had to leave the stage. They had to be destroyed, because a society that rejects compassion and love and mercy and caring for others, a society that rejects caring and sharing and chesed has no justification, has no zchus kiyum, and that is why Stam needed to be destroyed. Not because of the grave transgressions and the grave sins and the awful things that they did. On those, they could have done tshuva. But establishing a system which rejects chesed, that has no justification. And that is why Yad Oni Ve'evion Lo Yechziku, and that is what brought the downfall and the demise of Stoyim. And that is why Chazal teaches us, Koifan Olam Midas Stoyim. And we are required, Zen Ehena V'Zelei Chosa, you need to share, you need to give. And that is why Sheli Sheli, Shelcho Shelcho, when a person doesn't recognize and doesn't understand that whatever we have is ours to share, that is Midas Stoyim. So our Ovis taught us the virtue and the importance of Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibona. Ve'ein Yisroel Negolin, Elo B'Zchus Tzedakah, Shenemar Tzion, B'Mishpot Yipoda, V'Shoveyo B'Tzedakah. We should deserve for Kol B'Yameinu to be as Goel Tzedek, Tzion, B'Mishpot Yipoda, V'Shoveyo B'Tzedakah, B'Bias Moshiach Tzedkenu, B'Mheiro B'Yameinu. Amen.
Mommy, she was foreclosed. Couldn't think of it.